You're tuned in to The Dr. Kinney Show, and I'm your host, Dr. Erin Kinney, a naturopathic doctor and speaker dedicated to unraveling the mysteries of your body and guiding you back into balance. Through my years of practice, I've discovered that knowledge empowers healing. The more you understand about your health, the better choices you make, leading you towards recovery. Join me each week as we dive deep into actionable insights and wisdom from myself and top experts in the holistic health community. Together, we'll equip you with the tools to decipher what's happening in your body, why it's reacting as it does, and how to restore harmony in both your body and your life. Whether you're seeking relief from unexplained symptoms or aiming to optimize your well-being, this is your sanctuary. Welcome to the Dr. Kinney Show, where understanding leads to healing. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Kinney Show. This week, I'm really pleased to have joining me Jodi King, who is an artist, instructor, a speaker, and a podcast host. And she helps people find their truest higher self through art. And I'm really excited to hear her story and have this conversation to share with you about her work. So thanks, Jodi, for being here.
Oh, thank you. I love talking about this. It's like I could go on forever.
Yeah. So can we start by you sharing your story? And how did you get to this place and doing the work you do?
Absolutely. Well, I've been a professional artist for over 20 years, but that just is because I'm old. So, you know, my mid-50s, and I just stuck to it with my ADD brain. It's surprising that I stuck to this thing for so long. But I was not the kid that thought they were going to grow up to be an artist at all. I didn't start painting until I just woke up one day and thought, oh my gosh, I think I want to paint. And I was 35. But I think like so many of us, especially as women, I did not identify as an artist for, like I said, for years. And I think that's because when I was in third grade, I was in art class and our art teacher, you know, at the time we would only have art once a week. And I don't even know if they do that anymore. It's so sad. But once a week we would do art. And this particular week, our teacher brought by lumps of clay. And she put lumps of clay in front of each of us. You were at those like long cafeteria tables, you know, like one after the other. And so she put the clay in front of all us. And she said that we were supposed to form it into a mushroom and paint it. And then next week it will be, you know, while we're gone, it'll be fired in the kiln. We'll get our mushrooms back. And so that's what I did is I formed my piece of clay into a mushroom, but I had some leftover clay. And so I rolled the leftover clay into little balls and I put them on top of the mushroom. And then I painted those little balls different colors than the mushroom. And then the next week we were all getting our fired mushrooms back, all shiny with color. And she put them in front of each of the kids. And as she was going down the row, she would say like, David, I love that blue and so-and-so, I love that whatever. And she got to me and she said, Jodi, those little balls were not part of the assignment. And in that moment, I determined for myself that I was not an artist. That was not who I was. And of course, I know, bitch, I'm probably the most creative person here.
Because, yeah, you took the assignment, you did it, but you embellished upon the assignment, right?
Like— Absolutely. I am creative. But this is a story for so many of us. There's a study that was done where they went into kindergarten classrooms and they said, everyone who's an artist, raise your hand. And 100% of the kids raised their hands, right? And then they went into fourth grade classroom and they said, everyone here who's an artist, raise your hand. And half the kids raised their hand.
Wow.
And then they went to middle school and only one child raised their hand.
Really?
And so I think what that's about is that, you know, we start getting sorted into, you know, who we are. And for me, I determined that I was not this. I self-sorted, you know, of course, I should work with my anger management anchor sports.
But if it wasn't for her, it probably sounds like you might not have had your journey, right?
Exactly. So what I think we do self-sort. I'm not this. I am that. And the truth is, especially as women, we are all of the things within us, but we quiet some of that stuff down. And often what we're quieting, at least like I said, for a lot of the women I work with, they like they just decide in their 50s they want to start painting, and they are just off to the races and they are determined to do this thing. And then, you know, I am lucky enough to get to work with them. But what happens is they find their voice within their art. And then there's this alchemy that happens and they just start excavating more and more of who they are. And they're kind of remembering what that those creative juices felt like. They start remembering all of these wonderful things about themselves and they turn themselves inside out and they put it on the canvas.
So question, what brought you back to realizing that you were an artist?
Oh, great question. So I was 35 and I had young kids at home and I was married. We had a business. We had a wine bar and it was really successful. I had a really full, beautiful life, lots of friends, but I didn't know where I, like who I was very much, right? I knew I was a wife. I knew who I was, a mother. I knew I was a friend. I knew who I was to other people, but I didn't think I knew who I was for me. But that is absolutely not why I started painting. I started painting just because I felt like I needed something for myself, just for me. That felt really good. And again, I had no idea what I was doing. This is important that to know that this was 20 something years ago. There was no YouTube. There was barely any internet there. So I didn't go to art school. So figuring out how to paint was a little bit more challenging than it is now. But there was an artist. I woke up. It was actually on a New Year's Day. You know, we're thinking about, what do we want to do this year? And we were with a big group of people and one of the guys there painted. And I said, hey, David, you know what? I want to paint this year. And he looks at me dumbfounded and he goes, so just paint. And I go, oh no, I don't know how to paint. And he goes, just paint, right? It's like, I didn't realize I could just do something for fun that felt good without having to, quote, you know, be an expert to know how. I could just do it for fun. And when I started painting, it unlocked some kind of remembering, you know, of something. And then, yeah. And I see it happen all the time now.
That's
with
so
other,
cool.
You know, other women that I work with, or yeah. Not just women, men as well.
That's super cool. Sorry, this is a little random, but do you know the children's book, The Dot?
No.
Okay. You have
Sounds
to
like
read
I need
this
to.
Book. So it is a book about a little, I think it's a little boy or a little girl who's in art class and doesn't want to draw anything. And, you know, the teacher's like, you know, please draw something. She's like, I'm not a good artist. And they're like, just put something. And so the child puts a dot on the paper and the teacher's like, that's beautiful. Please sign it. And the next day the child comes to class and the teacher has framed the dot above her desk. And the student is like, oh my gosh. And then the student starts painting lots of dots, like colored dots and big dots. And then there's a whole art show of these different dots. And this, you know, this little child, like, it unlocks, you know, this cool creative side of them. And then, you know, at the end of the book, the child is like teaching, I think, a younger brother or a younger student. The student's like, I can't draw a line. And like, the guy's like, just draw a line. And she draws the line. And then she's like, please sign it. And then it kind of like, but it was such a cool, like, you know, thinking about that moment where you were like, oh, I wasn't an artist. Like how that teacher really were like, hey, this is amazing. I'm going to frame this. Like, you just did it. You didn't need training. You just put a dot on the paper.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I can't wait to get
beautiful illustrations too. You should check it out. I think
yeah,
it's Peter
well, that's
Reynolds
what happens.
Is the author. It's Peter Reynolds. It's a great, great little children's book.
Peter Reynolds. Okay. Well, I see that often in my work is people say, oh, I'm not an artist. So I don't know how to draw. I don't know how this. I don't know. And it's like, just start. Like,
just
start. A dot. Have you heard the saying? There was a child that was drawing something and the teacher comes by and says, what are you drawing? And they said, well, this is God. And she said, oh, sweetie, nobody knows what God looks like. And the child said, they do now.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's amazing. They do. Something about that confidence. That's great.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Well, so I think what's so cool about, you know, the work that you're doing, you know, from my perspective, you know, I work a lot with the physical body and particularly the nervous system and getting the nervous system to relax. And when you're doing any sort of creative, particularly painting or art or singing, usually the nervous system can't be in that fight flight state. It has to come out into like a more regulated nervous system state, kind of more the relaxed, you know, the rest and digest relaxed state. So it's such a healthy practice
for the physical body because it calms you down. It feels good, right, to be doing art. Like it takes your mind off of things. It just like, and you have to be kind of in that flow state. And that's so, so healthy for the physical body. And, you know, yeah. I work with a lot of women. We were talking offline before the show that, you know, they're either going through perimenopause or menopause and they don't feel right. They don't even know what they like to do. Their physical body doesn't feel great. They're not finding much joy. And sometimes, you know, I will suggest like, hey, I want you to find something, whether it's some sort of creative outlet that feels good. And sometimes they'll do it, but I usually will know when someone is better physically because they'll come to me and they'll be like, hey, I started taking a pottery class, or I took up painting again, or I've been singing. And that to me, it's like, I'm like, oh, yes, they've made it. They're being creative again. That's amazing. Like, but I think anytime you can add creativity to, you know, your wellness or lifestyle practice, it's so helpful for every single part of your physical well-being and your mental well-being and your emotional well-being. And I'm sure you can speak 100%. To that, right?
I 100% agree. And there's some scientific studies that back up, I'm sure you know this, that back up your, you know, what you're saying. There's a book called Your Brain on Art, and they discovered that even 45 minutes of creative anything once a week, just 45 minutes, and it doesn't even have to be good, right? Because that's what we want to do. We don't want to do anything less than good. Just 45 minutes of any creative endeavor once a week has the same effect of a daily meditation practice.
I actually had not seen that study. That's amazing. Makes sense.
It's fascinating. And that is my experience as well with art. And then there was also a book that was written by the Nagoski sisters called Burnout. And Burnout really talks to how there's a three-part stress cycle. And I first heard about this because Brené Brown was interviewing the Nagoski sisters on her podcast. And she said to the Nagoski sisters, I learned something today I never knew. Now, when Brené says she learned something, I'm like, well, I definitely don't know it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. She knows everything.
Yeah. So she said, I didn't realize that our bodies had a three-part cycle. So what the Nagoski sisters found with stress is that we don't burn out, or we don't, you know, however you want to determine burnout, which is, you know, lack of emotional attachments, depression, you know, all of the things that come with burnout. We don't burn out because of the stress that we're under, the inciting stress, or maybe it's a medical issue. We don't burn out because of that. It's because of the cycle. So we have the stressor is the first thing. The second part of the cycle is it gets stuck in our bodies. Now it's in our bodies. The third part of the stress cycle is we move it through. And they determined that there were seven different ways that we could move the stress through our bodies, seven different ways. And one of those ways was art and creativity.
Yeah.
So it just proves that we do start feeling better after some sort of creative practice. Because we are literally allowing our limbic system to calm down and to let that flow through us.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, art, music, or anything. It's a process. It allows your system to process things. I probably need to paint. I do puzzles. That is my like current, which I guess you could count as creativity, but it gets me into like a super relaxed flow state. And I actually have just realized that my anxiety has been a little bit high the last week, and I haven't been doing a puzzle. I need to get a puzzle out again. But I feel like when I'm in that state, I'm focused on something. It's a little bit creative. I have to see all the things, and I can process things without being too, like, I can think about my day. I can think about things coming up, but it doesn't seem too, like, it's not too pressing, right? Because I'm in the moment doing the puzzle. And I think when you're in any sort of artistic, creative state, you know, your brain can, like, safely think about those things, but it also is focused on the, I don't know. I mean, maybe you can talk a little bit about that. Would you agree that, like, it's a nice way to process things?
I completely agree. Completely agree. And I know your listeners can't see, but there's right behind me, there's something called, I've written the creative process.
Oh, I see.
And
yeah.
I keep this in my studio intentionally because as we write, as we paint, as we do any sort of creative endeavor, we go through a creative process. And the first stage of the creative process, there's six stages. The first stage is, this is awesome. This is going to be awesome, right? It's like rainbows and unicorns. And then the second stage is, this is tricky. And the third stage is, this is shit. And the fourth stage is, I am shit. And the fifth stage is, this might work. And the sixth stage is, again, this is awesome. Now, what happens is we tend to, now that's, I'm telling you, I've been doing this 20 plus years. Every single, if there's a painting behind me, I'm stuck right in the middle of this is shit. It happens with 100% of the paintings. But because I am aware of the process, I know I'm just in the middle of this bad part, right?
Yeah.
I know that if I don't give up, if I stick with it and I use it, I use the tools that I have for myself, I can move through this and get to the end. Sadly, what so many of us do as artists or just as creatives, or, you know, we start the painting, the pottery class, the writing, the book, the whatever it might be. We start it and we get to this is shit. And we decide, we self-select and decide we are not an artist. We are not a writer. We are not, like, we are not that. When in fact, we are just in the middle of the creative process. So what I like to help women do, or I don't know, why do I keep going back to women? What I like to help artists do,
yeah,
what I like to help them do is to get excited about getting, doing something creative, and then celebrating with them, especially in a workshop, celebrating with them when they get to that messy middle, because they have the courage to keep pushing past that safety place, right? And I think that's what we do in life as well. We get to this comfort, this safety place, and we call it who we are because we're so afraid that we're going to get to this is shit. I am shit. And it, and that's just life. It just, life is going to life us, right?
Yeah.
We just have to keep going, keep getting through it.
So it's almost,
so it's such
like
a beautiful metaphor.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's almost like doing the artistic process is practicing and building resilience for life. It's like, hey, if I can get through this, then when this other thing comes up, and you think about, like, anyone who's listening who's run a business, like when you first get it, you're so excited and you're like, oh, this is great and I'm gonna get all this going. And then you're like, oh, this might be a little tricky. There's little things. And then there's usually a time where you're like, oh my God, what the fuck was I thinking starting this business? This is so hard. But then if you stick with it, through the tough time, you always will come out on the other side and it'll be like, great. Okay. I stuck with it. This is amazing. Like, I did a great job. So yeah, I think it's a beautiful way to kind of build your body's resilience to life.
Absolutely. It's exactly what happens. And, seeing the business part, you get to the point where you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? This is terrible. And then you do usually get to, maybe it's at 3 a.m., but it's, who did I think I was?
Yeah.
Who did I think I am doing this?
Who am I to start this or bring this to the world? Or, this could be also, like we were talking earlier about podcasting, I think I was really excited and I still love the podcast, but there are definitely times where I'm like, behind on recording and or we were talking about tech stuff is not working. I'm like, why did I think this was a good thing? Or when, you look at your stats, you're like, oh, the stats weren't good this month or whatever. But, you keep doing it and you just keep at it. So I guess that's the point is like, keep through the, go get through the shit and you'll come in on the other side.
100%. And as we were saying earlier, when people say, what do you do? It would be really easy to say, I'm a podcaster. I'm a teacher. I paint or whatever. But truly what I do in my highest service is I help people excavate their truest, highest selves through the use of art and creativity. But to your point of what you just said, I think the way we do that is through building resilience within ourselves because it translates, the art process, the creative process translates to every area of our lives.
Yeah. It's also, I'm thinking too of anyone who's listening, who's gone through any sort of, healing endeavor when you're like dealing with something and you come, especially in alternative medicine, you come and you're like super excited. You're like, this is going to be great. And then, sometimes taking a protocol or changing your lifestyle can be tricky. And sometimes, depending on what you're working on, sometimes you might get a little bit worse before you get better. And so I can kind of see this process sometimes in patients that I'm working with. They come in, they're like super excited, I'm going to make these changes. Then they come in, they're like, wow, it was really hard to change my diet. This is, take all these supplements and do these things and go to bed. And then sometimes you do have a worsening before you get better. But usually if they stick with it, they'll come out the other side. So this is a perfect metaphor for so many different aspects of life.
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me how you work with people. Are you working with people virtually or what does your work look like?
Good question. So I do work with people in person. I have several different programs right now. Last weekend, I have my highest touch program, my highest level mentoring program is called Studio Elite. People can find out more about that on my website. But I love that because it's very a close knit small group of people. And then this next coming up week, I am teaching an in-person workshop in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And so that's going to be, 15 people and we're going to work together for 5 days painting and,
cool. So a little bit like a retreat.
The creative process.
Is it like a retreat? So you can come, anyone can come and they'll, that's very cool.
Yeah. It's a retreat. And then in June, I'm teaching in Tuscany. So I have several things that I do in person and people can find out more about working with me in person on my website. But, and then I have other virtual that, of course I've got my podcast.
Yeah.
But I have
by the way, what's your podcast called?
It's called the Honest Art Podcast.
Oh, fantastic.
And honest art it's a term that I coined years ago and it just means the art that only you can make. It comes through us onto the canvas or to whatever your substrate is. And it's whatever that's uniquely you. So cool. I have some online programs. I teach a lot of artists about business, how to create a thriving business. Because I was an entrepreneur for years and years. Well, I still am, but I was an entrepreneur for years before I ever picked up a paintbrush. And so when I started, I became an accidental artist. And so I just started applying all these business skills to my art and it was successful. And because I wasn't indoctrinated into that starving artist kind of rhetoric because I never had any intention of being an artist. So when I started painting, I'm like, well, hell yeah, I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. It's funny what you do when you don't have the conditioning around it. And then later I thought, who the hell am I to do this? But at first, it was the creative process, right?
It was the creative process. Oh, man.
Exactly.
All right. So we've got online programs, in-person program. That's super cool. And the podcast to check out. So lots of ways that you can kind of get this work out into the world.
Yes. And I would just say if anybody has any sort of creative inkling, any tiny little bit of curiosity about a creative endeavor, whether it's singing, taking dance classes, painting, writing, whatever it might be, to listen to that. Absolutely listen to that because there's a saying, no artist creates alone. No artist creates alone, meaning there is something in the universe, spirit, God, however you want to say it, that needs to be birthed through you.
That's really cool.
And just allow that. Follow that tiny bit of curiosity. You don't have to have an aha. You don't have to change your life and become an artist and sell it professionally. Just listen to that little bit of curiosity because something is seeing me come through.
Well, and it's, I feel like being creative, like it brings you joy mostly, right? When you're in it, especially that first part. And it's funny when I ask my patients, hey, what do you do? What hobbies do you have or what do you kind of do that's for fun or for you? And a lot of my, busy, particularly my busy mom patients that are running a business, everything they do has like a purpose. They're like, well, I have to get this done. It's always that kind of, I have to do this. And it's never the like, I want to do this. And I think sometimes people are like, oh, well, I could take a painting class, but it's kind of like what they think, like, what would be the point of that? Like, I'm not accomplishing anything with that. But the point is to do it because you feel good doing it. Right. And like, it's good to do things that feel good. And I think I like this conversation for those of you who are listening that are like, oh yeah, I would never do that because it's not really like, it's not going to accomplish anything, but you are actually teaching your brain and your body these great skills that can be applied in other parts of life. So there is a point to it, right? Like a little bit
there
more
than. There's such a point
to it.
There's
such a, like.
What are we all trying to get to? I mean, I feel like if I see somebody who has such a beautiful practice like you have, if we do any of these things, I think ultimately what we're trying to get to is health, vitality, and joy, right?
Yes.
I think we're trying to get there. So that's the point of doing something fun.
Yeah, it is the point. Yeah. Like, but sometimes I think in our culture, we've kind of missed that. We think like, because we all want things because the way we think that thing or that accomplishment is going to make us feel. And most of us want to feel what you just said. We want to feel joy and we want to feel good. But sometimes we think, oh, if my schedule's like this and my kids go and I have all, then I'm going to feel good. But oftentimes like that, so you got to do the thing that feels good now. It's like, don't wait because it might come, but it's
right.
Add that into your life so that your life feels good. I've noticed, like I said, I haven't been doing my puzzle the last couple of weeks, and I was on vacation a couple of weeks ago, which is always great. And it's always hard to come back. You know, the week come back from vacation, you're like, oh gosh, there's a lot of things to do, and it feels like a little harder than felt before. But I've just been noticing I haven't been doing my creative, you know, practices, and I'm feeling, I don't feel as good. Like the stuff doesn't feel as good. Where, when I'm doing that, I feel like all the stuff like that I've scheduled, it always, it's fun. Like it feels more fun. Life feels more fun, I think, when you have a creative outlet of some kind.
Right. But you make a really good point. I don't think our culture in particular elevates it to the level of importance that it really, really does have in our life, to our mental well-being, our physical well-being, all the people that we come in contact with. I was listening to an interview. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name, but this guy was talking about how he decided for this particular year that he was going to prioritize fun for the year. And so he set an alarm for 3 times a day to, when the alarm went off, he had to take a break from what he was doing and he had to do something that was fun, whether it's kitchen dancing or he was a skateboarder. He was, you know, he was older, like old, like 56, like me. Mm. And he would get on a skateboard. So old, right?
So old. Ancient.
He would get on a skateboard. Like, fun is different for everyone.
Yeah.
And he said that year he had made more in revenue, sales and revenue in his company than any other year. So for all of us busy moms, raising kids, running business, like, fun is important. It's important. Not only to us, but it can be important to the bottom line.
Yeah, it can be important to the and to all kinds of things. I think when you're in fun and in that flow state, you know, I don't know, are you an Abraham Hicks fan? Do you listen to Abraham?
Oh yeah, I love her.
I sometimes touch on Abraham on the show. Esther, they, what, the beings. And if you aren't familiar with Abraham Hicks, go Google them or Esther Hicks and give it a listen. But they always talk about when you're in, like, you're in the vortex, you're in this good, like, you're in the moment, you're living in like the center of the hourglass, you're not thinking about bottom line, but then you do end up manifesting everything you've ever wanted. So it's like I think we just need to relax a little bit more, go take the painting class, take the pottery class, go do a course with Jody, like do something that, you know, ignites this creative piece of you, and your life will like astound you probably in how amazing it can be.
100%. It will astound you. It will. We were talking before the podcast that I was teaching a workshop one time here in Austin, and there was this woman that first time she had taken a workshop with me, she was almost 70, and she had been raised in the South in the US, which there's a lot of, I think, expectations for, you know, girls growing in the South. This is how you pray. This is how you cross your legs. This is what you wear. This is what you say. And nice girls don't do this. And she was raised in that whole, under that experience. And now she was almost 70 and she took a workshop with me. Something unlocked in her. And by the fourth day, which is the last day, she came to me and said, I just want you to know, I'm going to miss like the last several hours of the workshop. And I said, well, no problem. But out of curiosity, what are you doing? And she said, you know, I've always wanted a tattoo.
So I love it. It's such a great story. You're like, yes, girl, we unlocked it.
Absolutely. Go get that. Right. And so it was beautiful. I know this is a great example of just what art and creativity and embracing joy and just the fun of remembering who we really are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been an amazing chat. So we'll put all the links to all of your stuff in show notes. But best place for people to start is with your website.
JodyKing.com. My name is spelled JODIE. King.com, but the podcast is Honest Art, the Honest Art Podcast. Yeah. Or you can follow me on Instagram, Jody_King. Yep.
Awesome.
Love to see you.
Thank you so much, Jody. And thank you guys for listening. And we'll see everyone next week.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to connect with me on social media to find more helpful tips and information. You can find me at Dr. Kinney on all of the platforms. And please be sure to subscribe and leave a rating and or a review. This helps grow the show so more people have access to this knowledge that leads to empowered healing. Love and light, and see you next week.